Amen. Thank you for that song. I appreciate that. Let us take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. And I pray that you are enjoying the journey that we are on in God's Word as we study the life and times of David. And we are taking chapter by chapter and many times verse by verse and seeing what the Lord has for us. This morning we come to probably a wonderful scene to me, but at the same time a very tragic scene in God's Word. We come to a time of rejoicing, but by the end of the day there is weeping and sorrow. What the day should have been a glorious day of praising God, but it ended up being a day of David being angry at God. We come to the time when David is now king. He is king of all of Israel and all of Judah, not just a certain portion. And David, I believe, out of the integrity of his heart, and because David had a heart for God, David wanted to bring back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. In specific, David wanted to set the Ark of the Covenant in Zion. And I believe that's where God wanted it to be in the first place. If you remember, the Ark of the Covenant has been gone for many, many years. In fact, we know of over 40 years the Ark of the Covenant has been gone. If you know the life and times of the nation of Israel, do you remember the day when Eli was the priest? He was a priest that did not know God in a great way. At one time, he knew the Lord and loved the Lord, but Eli was not walking with God. And his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were boys that did not even know the Lord. You know the story. The Philistines came and they took the Ark of the Covenant. Now remember, they had taken the Ark of the Covenant out into battle thinking that was somewhat of a good luck charm for them. But oh, just because it represented God's presence did not mean God would bless and use them. So the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, but they didn't know what to do with it. In fact, they looked inside of it, they touched it, they did all kinds of things that were forbidden for the children of Israel to even do. And they got rid of the ark. It ended up in the house of Abinadad. In fact, Abinadad had the Ark of the Covenant in his house for 40 long years. Now David wants to bring it back. But David makes a terrible mistake. And David does not follow the clear command and teachings of God's Word. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, choosing a new cart. Choosing a new cart. It is possible for each and every one of us in our Christian life to be sincere, but to be sincerely wrong. You know, we find here that David was excited. David had the fanfare. David had the instruments going. And I believe that David was sincere in his heart, but he was wrong because he did not obey God. Let's look at it together. 2 Samuel chapter 6, we begin in verse number 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. 2 Samuel 6, verse number 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadad that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadad, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadad, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end to offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Now, in my opinion, this is one of the most famous stories in God's Word. David wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Now, may I commend David on the very thought of bringing back the Ark of the Covenant. Now, please note that David was sincere, and David, in a sense, was doing a right thing, but he was doing it in a wrong way. David had a desire to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. Now, let's study just for a moment, because I want to remind you about the Ark of the Covenant. God had very specific ways that the ark was to be designed. It was a box. It was made out of acacia wood, and it was overlaid with gold. Gold was without the box, and gold was within the box. There was a lid upon the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a special place. It was designated where God said that he would meet with the people. The presence of God literally abode upon that ark. Now, may I say to you that God was not contained in the box, but God chose to commune with the people as the high priest would go in. By the way, the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle was not on the outer court. That's where the sacrifices were taking place. That's where the sin offering was dealt with. But way back into the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could go, and where only the high priest could touch the Ark of the Covenant, it was there that the Shekinah glory of God met with man, and God spoke to man. It was a special designated offering, and it was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, God had specific rules, or if you want to say procedures, about how to move the ark. Let's take our Bibles this morning, because I want to show you in Numbers chapter number 4. Would you go there, back in your Bible, Numbers chapter number 4. Now, please note that the ark was a beautiful thing. It was a picture, and by the way, I believe it was God's picture in the Bible of Jesus Christ. I am not a fan of pictures of artist rendering of Jesus Christ, because every artist gets the picture of Jesus wrong. Every artist does. In fact, God does not want us to necessarily have a picture of Jesus Christ, because I'm telling you something, if we had a real picture, people would worship that picture. They would bow down to it. You remember Moses had the brazen serpent, and you know that it became a hindrance, a snare to people, because they worshiped the brazen serpent. There are lots of pictures of Jesus Christ, but the Ark of the Covenant is no doubt the greatest picture of Jesus Christ. The gold speaks of Jesus' deity. The wood speaks of his humanity. Within the ark speaks of the provision of God. And brethren, through Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need. He is God himself, the God-man. But God gave clear commands to the Levites. And by the way, it was only the Levites that could carry the ark. It had to be carried on their shoulders. And there were rings on each corner of this golden box. And wooden stays were through those rings so that the men could carry it on their shoulders. Notice what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 5. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons. They shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of testimony with it. Notice the Ark of the Covenant had to be covered when it was transported. Verse number 6. And shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. God said, put the staves in the rings to move it. Let's go to verse number 15 of Numbers chapter 4. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now God had given clear commands on how the Ark of the Covenant was to be moved. Why is David moving it with a new cart? We need to understand something. When the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, and by the way, the Philistines thought that because they stole the Ark of the Covenant, the power of the children of Israel was gone. That's what they thought. And they didn't know what to do with the Ark of the Covenant when they got it. They had a lot of trouble with that. Because God dealt with them. God judged them because of that. But you remember when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back, they did it in their own way. They did it according to man's wisdom and man's philosophy. They knew nothing about how the Ark was to be transported. And God had given His word to His people and not to the Philistines, who knew not God. So they brought it back in a new cart. A new cart pulled by oxen. Somehow David patterned the bringing of the Ark of the Covenant back to the city of Jerusalem on how the heathen transported the Ark of the Covenant. Now, by the way, David made a great error here. Why did David not consult God? Why did David not inquire of the Lord? I want you to take your Bibles and I want to show you another record of this in 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. And by the way, the greatest way for us to understand Scripture is to study Scripture with Scripture. And God's Word is the key. My pastor used to say the greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Well, when you look at 2 Samuel chapter number 6, another account of the same story is found in 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. We find a little bit more detail there, which helps us to understand why David put this on a new cart. We come to 1 Chronicles chapter number 13, and I want us to begin in verse number 1. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Now, David made a terrible mistake. Instead of David inquiring of God, instead of David going to the record of God's word, David had the record of God's word. He knew what God had commanded the Levites, and only the Levites, to bear the Ark of the Covenant. And the Levites were not to touch the Ark of the Covenant. God said that they would die if they did. And they were to carry the ark not on a new cart, but they were to carry it on their shoulders, near to them. A personal responsibility for them to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Why did David not seek God? David, we find no record in 2 Samuel. We find no record here that David inquired of the Lord. He did not seek the face of God. You know what David did? David got the best of the men together. And David sought their counsel. David said, what seems good to you that we should do? Now, brother, may I tell you something? There is a great danger for each and every one of us and for our church and for our families when we make decisions based on what seems good to us in our own eyes. In fact, we're living in a day and time where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. You know something? You can literally justify anything today. You can, and that's what people do. They say, well, this seems good to me. This feels good to me. This is what I think is best for me. But David made a grave mistake here because he got all those men together. And by the way, what did Job, the man of God, say in Job 32:9? He says, great men are not always wise. You know something? The best of men do not have all the wisdom. God is the one who has all wisdom and all knowledge. And by the way, David needed not to consult other men because the will of the Lord had already been revealed on how the ark was to be transported. David made a grave mistake that day. May I tell you something? It was right in the eyes of the people, but it was not right in the sight of God. Now, can you imagine this scene that day? Here it is. David is king, and everybody is excited about David being the king. David's finally where God wants him to be. And is it right for David to be king? Absolutely. Is it right for David to bring the ark back to the nation or the city of Jerusalem? Absolutely. I believe David had the greatest intentions. In fact, I believe Uzzah, who put forth his hand to stable the ark because it was going to fall, I believe that Uzzah meant good in all of that. But that day of the musical instruments were going, people were cheering. It was a special day. I don't know, maybe they were selling hot dogs or something like that during that day. I mean, it was a great day. Everyone was excited. This was the day the Ark of the Covenant was coming back. But in the midst of all of that, in a moment, the oxen that were carrying this Ark on a new cart, just like the Philistines did, oh, this was the new way to do it. This was the exciting way to do it. This is the better way to do it. But in fact, it was against God and His Word. And the very moment the oxen stumbled, Uzzah put forth his hand and God struck him dead. And now everything has stopped. The music is not playing anymore. You can hear a pin drop per se. Why? Because now this day, this glorious day, everyone went back to their homes in despair, in discouragement, and in confusion because they sought to do God's work in the wrong way. Brethren, today we can do the same thing. It is called choosing a new cart. Do you know that the devil is very crafty? Oh, the devil doesn't come and kick the door down to your house and say, I'm here to ruin your family. The devil doesn't present you and say, here's what I'm going to do to your marriage and here's what I'm going to do to your children. The devil doesn't do that. Oh, no, the devil puts a lot of truth within his error. And the most dangerous error is that which is closest to the truth. You see, here we find they are taking the ark. They need to get the ark back. I mean, it's been gone for over 40 years and they're getting it back. But because they do not follow God's way, judgment falls. Can I ask you something? You say, Pastor, we don't do this. We do not choose a new cart. Brethren, each and every one of our hearts, we often choose new carts. How do we choose a new cart? Number one, I want you to notice something as we study Scripture here today. Number one, we choose new carts when we are not concerned about obeying God. How important is it to you this morning that you are obedient to God? Can I ask you something today? Can you say right now, as a man, as a woman, as a boy, as a girl, as a teenager, that I am obeying the Lord? The Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In fact, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. What has the Lord commanded us to do? Well, brethren, we will never know that unless we study the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. How important it is for you and me, is it important to us that we are obeying the commands of God? Here we find that David was doing the right thing in the wrong way. David was not careful about obeying the commands of God. You know something, we live in a society today among Christians. I'm not talking about those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm talking about the average Christian today. They're just not careful about obeying the commands of God. They think, well, hey, you know, I'm better than my neighbor, and I'm better than the unsaved coworker, and I'm better than this person, and I'm better than that person. But brethren, there should be something within each of our hearts that we desire to read the Word of God. We desire to study the Word of God. We desire to come to the house of God that we may obey the commands of God. And when God deals with us, when God puts His finger on something in our life that we are not obeying the commands of God, that we repent of that, we confess it to God, and we forsake it, and we say, by God's grace, I will obey the Lord. The truth of the matter is, we do not really love the Lord if we are not obeying His commands. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and I want you to go to this portion in John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, let me show this to you. David here had consulted other men. David here had asked what other men thought he should do, and David did not seek the mind of the Lord. It is amazing to me that today there are many Christians that have no concern for God's standard. They're not concerned about what God says. Look here, brother. You know what? I'm not concerned about what I think, and I'm not concerned about what other people think, but I am concerned about thus saith the Lord. That's God's standard. You know, we live in a society today where many Christians think, well, that's old-fashioned, and that is just something my grandparents used to do. But that's not relevant for today. And because many people have tried to be relevant, they have lost the reverence for God's precious Word. You see, when we love the Word of God and we say, I want to hold to the standards of the Scriptures in my life, then we search the Scriptures. We listen. We listen intently so that God will change our lives. Look, you know, there's lots of things today that we have excused, but what have we done? We've chosen a new cart. Those people that day, boy, I'm sure that was the nicest cart you'd ever seen in your life. It was spanking new. I mean, it looked fancy. There was the nicest oxen you'd ever seen. And man, it looked the best that man could offer. It was the best that man could do. But God looked upon it and said, that is wrong. That is disobedient to me. I don't care the fanfare. I don't care the crowds. I don't care the cheers. I don't care all of that. What God is concerned about is obedience to His Word. John chapter 14, I quoted this to you. The Bible says in verse number 15, the Lord Jesus says this. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We read on in verse number 21, the Bible says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. May I say this to you? You will never know the reality of God's presence in your life if you are disobeying God in any area of your life. What about your entertainment? Are there things of entertainment that we have disobeyed God and we know it's not up to God's standard? What about things we're allowing through our eye gate or our ear gate? We know they're not up to God's standard. We wouldn't do them in the presence of God, but we are not real careful about that. We are disobeying God. What about our marriage? Is our marriage exactly as God has put it? Men are to love their wives, and even as Christ loved the church, and the women are to love their husbands as well, but they are to submit to the leadership that God has placed in their family with their husbands. And can I say this to you? When we disobey any of God's commands, we basically have said, I've got a new cart. I've got a new cart. Oh, we want God's blessing, and David wanted that. They wanted the presence of God. Everyone wants God's hand upon their life. Everyone wants God's blessing upon their life. But some people want to use a new cart to get God's goodness and to get God's favor and to get God's blessing. I've got a new cart. This is something I've devised. This is something I have schemed up on my own. And it's man's way and man's reasoning and man's thinking. That's why God said that our ways are not His ways, and our thoughts are not His thoughts, saith the Lord. You know something? I want myself. I don't know about your life. I don't. But I know that I want my life to be conformed to the teachings of God's Word. I want my life to line up with the standard of God's word. This was right to the people. It was right to David, but it was wrong to God. And if they had sought the mind of the Lord and searched in his scriptures, they would have known the mind of the Lord. You know what? We have a lot of secular humanism that creeps into our homes and our churches today, do we not? It's pragmatism. It's the end justifies the means. Well, we're going to do this, and the end is really what we're getting to. I know this is a little wrong, a little shady, a little dishonest, and a little not glorifying to the Lord, but look at what we're going to reach. Well, brethren, can I tell you something? That is doing God's work in the energy of the flesh, and God will never bless it. You see, we choose a new cart when we are not careful about the commands of God. Instead of consulting the Word of God, instead of looking to the Lord, a new cart was brought. This new cart was human invention. It was contrary to the invention of the Lord. Can I ask you something? Do you have some new carts at your house? Do you have some new carts in your own life, things that you do that you would have never done when you first got saved? Now, I remember when I first came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was 17 years of age, and of course, I had two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister. It's affected me the rest of my life, and I just want you to know that. And you know something? I knew I got saved because I was so concerned. I even wanted to be nice to my sisters. Brother, that's real salvation right there, brother. I mean, that's a life transformation, you know? But I can remember, I still remember the first time that I didn't do the right thing and I sinned against God. And even though I know the Lord and you know the Lord is your Savior, if you're a child of God, we still have that old sin nature. And I remember when I sinned against the Lord, I can still remember it to this day. I was so grieved in my spirit. You know why? Because I had grieved God, the Holy Spirit, who indwelt me. And I remember getting on my face at my bedside and crying out to the Lord and asking God to forgive me, not to keep my salvation because I was in the family of God, but I'd broken fellowship with God and I was concerned in my life. But you and I know what happens. Oh, we let things slide and let things go and we let things through our eye gate and our ear gate and we say things and we gossip, we're critical, and we harbor unforgiveness and we do this and that. And what are we doing? We're living in disobedience to God. No wonder the joy is gone. No wonder we go home at night and the joy is gone. You see, David that night, he went back to his home and the victory of that day was destroyed. The dreams of that day were gone. And for 3 months, David lived like that because the ark of God dwelt in the house of Obed-Edom. You know why? Because David chose a new cart. And the new carts will never bring the blessing of God. The new carts in your heart and mind and in my heart and mind will never bring God's blessing upon our life. Listen to me. May I say this to you? When we live our lives from the model of this world, and when we do that, we do serious damage to our souls and to our families. You see, so often people think, the children of God think, well, I'm an arm's distance from the world. Well, guess what happens? The world keeps getting further and further. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And the Christian keeps saying, I'm keeping an arm's distance. But the Christian keeps moving with the world as well. And we've allowed things into our homes and we've allowed things into the church and we've allowed things into our lives that we never dreamed we would allow because we brought in a new cart and it looked good. It seemed good to us. The new cart is never blessed of God. Oh, they brought the Ark of the Covenant in a new cart, but it was never the mind of God. Listen, brother, we must never tone down the commandments of God. We must never downplay what the Lord has commanded us to do. I'm reminded of what David said in Psalm chapter 81. Would you take your Bibles and let's turn there. Psalm chapter number 81. We choose a new cart when we are not careful about the commands of the Lord. You know, it's amazing to me. Everything has entered the church today. I'm thankful it's not in this church, but there's some churches where they have Christian rock music. Can I tell you what that is? It's just a new cart. If it's Christian, there's nothing rock about it. And if it's rock, there's nothing Christian about it. And you see, that's entered into some people's hearts and lives. Well, it has good words, Pastor. It has really good words. And those words stir me. I'm going to tell you something. It's just a new cart. It's a new cart. It'll never have God's blessing upon it. You see, we've developed all kinds of things today that are our thinking and our mind and our philosophy. And they're just new carts. And guess what? God says, I'm not pleased with that. You know something? I wonder, would God be comfortable in most of our churches today if he ever came to one? If Jesus Christ entered the doors of most churches today, would he have to leave the service because of the music? Would he have to leave the service because of the fleshliness? Would he have to leave the service because the preacher does not glorify Jesus Christ? You see, that's just a new cart. It brings in a crowd. David had a crowd that day. David had everyone there. Everyone was excited. Look what our commander-in-chief is doing. Look at the new cart. Yes, this is the new way to do things. But God said, that's not my way. God said, I prescribed a certain way that this must be done. Psalm chapter 81, we begin in verse number 11. The Bible says this. It says, Psalm 81 and verse number 11. It says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. And they walked in their own counsels. And notice what the Lord says. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Brethren, can I tell you something? So often the devil wants to blind us to the goodness of God. The devil wants us to imagine that God is some hateful God in heaven waiting to knock us down when we sin and do wrong. But our God is a loving God. Our God cares for us. Our God loves you more than you would ever imagine. And here is a symbol. He said, oh, that the children of Israel had listened to me. I wanted to do so much for them. I wanted to be so good to them. I wanted to bless them. I wanted to give them victory from their enemies. But they would not obey me. They walked in their own counsels. I'll tell you something. When we walk in our own counsels, we try to pave out a way for our lives. It's a new cart. And that cart won't get far. You see, we choose a new cart when we are not careful to obey God's commands. Number two, we choose a new cart when we are careless about sacred things. Do you know that there is a sacredness about God and His Word? A sacredness. Now, I may say some things today that maybe you don't agree with, and that's all right. But can I tell you something? Sunday is a very sacred day for me. I always get a little disturbed. My wife can vouch to this. People in our neighborhood, they mow the grass on Sunday. It just bothers me so much. Because I want to say to them, look, I'll mow it for you on Saturday if you'll not mow it today. You know why? Because Sunday is the first day of the week. And by the way, next week we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. But Resurrection Sunday is every single Sunday, you know? We celebrate the resurrection of our Savior every Sunday. We come to the house of the Lord on the first day of the week. But to me, Sunday is something special. It is a day that God has designed for us as New Testament Christians that we set aside that day to worship our God, to reverence our God. But the reverence is gone today out of most Christians' lives. It's gone. Now think with me just for a moment. The ark was in the house of Abinadab 40 years. And God says nothing about the house being blessed. But the Ark of the Covenant went in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And what did God say? The whole house was blessed. Can I tell you something? There's a great difference between the family of Abinadab and the family of Obed-Edom because of how they reverenced the Ark of God. What I believe happened with Abinadab, 40 years, Uzzah and Ahio grew up around that ark. They seen it every day. They walked past it. It was just like another piece of furniture in the house. They got used to it. It was something that was commonplace. It was something that they just took for granted. And the very day when the ark was stumbling and was going to fall, Uzzah, almost out of pride, almost out of rejection against God, put forth his hand saying, look what I can do. I've been around the ark all my life. And God struck him and killed him. Can I tell you this? There is a sanctity about life. There is a sanctity about God's Word. There is a reverence about God. Today, we've almost lost the holy awe of the things of God. The pastor that I was under for many years was Pastor Clarence Sexton, but the pastor that he was influenced by so much was Dr. Lee Robertson. And Dr. Lee Robertson, it was told that if you were walking through the hallways of Tennessee Temple during the days of college and your Bible was underneath another book, he would stop you and say, "Get the Bible on the top." You know why? Because he thought so much of God's Word. Now, I'm not saying, brethren, that we can't write in the Bible, because I believe that we should write things in the Bible and all of that. The Bible is not sacred in the simply that it's a book. It is the book above all books. But how do we reverence God's Word? How do we reverence what really, this is not the auditorium. This is the sanctuary here. This is the place that is set aside for the preaching of God's Word. We put the pulpit in the middle because we exalt the Word of God here, because that is exalting Jesus Christ Himself. You see, the pulpit's not put off to the side to where, you know, the band is right here in the middle and let's come and let's rock it out here in church. Oh, no. It's God's Word. You see, brethren, we've lost the awe-ness of it. Uzzah became so accustomed to that he saw it as no different than anything else. I told the men this morning in the Sunday school, the greatest fear that I have is my children growing up around the things of God, that it becomes commonplace to them. My children are here. In some ways, I live here at the church, you know. I spend more time here almost than in my own house because of the responsibilities of a Christian school and a staff and all of that. But if I'm not careful, my children who go to school here and they play ball here and they're around here, this becomes just another place. But I want it to be that when we come into the house of the Lord, that there is a special presence here. What presence are we looking for? Not my presence, not your presence. The presence of a holy God here, working in our lives, dealing with us. I can still remember as a kid walking to the sanctuary of Temple Baptist Church. And man, I'm telling you, God was there. You know why? Because people thought differently when they came into the house of the Lord. They brought their Bibles to the house of the Lord. They came in attention and they came ready and prepared to listen. Uzzah put forth his hand because that box was just a box to him. It was not sacred any longer. And brethren, you and I'm going to tell you what we do. We choose a new cart when we are careless about the sacred things of God. I'm reminded of what one preacher said years ago. He knew of a man who went to South Africa, and it was during the days when diamonds were very prevalent. Diamonds were almost like stones. In fact, you remember the days of Solomon, that silver was like stones. It was so in abundance. Well, a man went to South Africa to take a trip, and diamonds were just being mined there, and they were everywhere. And he saw some children over playing. And he came to look at them, and they were playing marbles. Now, most of our kids have no idea what that means, all right? They only know if you've lost your marbles, all right? But he saw some children over there playing marbles, and he noticed that the stones looked odd. Never seen any stones quite like these stones. But he got a little closer, and he noticed they were playing marbles with diamonds. Something so frivolous as a little game and shooting the marbles, shooting the diamonds against one another. Something so priceless, something so valuable. But those children were around it so much that it became commonplace to them. Brethren, we ought to ask God to help us that sacred things remain sacred. And God's Word is reverent. And when we come to the house of God, we help our children to listen and to pay attention. Because it's not because the preacher's speaking. It's because God wants to speak to our hearts. And when God speaks, we ought to listen. You know what God told the children of Israel to do? Later on, we will find that Moses or David gets it right here. And you know what David tells all the priests to do? Go sanctify yourself. Because now we're going to do the Ark of the Covenant right. Now we're going to have the Levites bear it on their staves, on their shoulders. And we're going to do it right. Why? Because there is a sanctity. There is a reverence. Has the ark simply become just a box to you? is the things of God become some compartmentalized to where, well, that's church and then this is my life. Brethren, it is not to be that way. Because God encompasses all of our life. And we allow Him to lead in every area of our life. You know something, I think about why did God have the Levites put the ark upon their shoulders? Now think about this just for a moment. You know, it was a sense of personal responsibility. You know what? When they put it on the new cart, boy, that took a load off their shoulders, didn't it? That was easy for them. Let's just put it on a new cart. I don't want to carry the ark. You know something? It is a sense that man does not want to be accountable for anything in his life. You know, marriages today, people want the privileges of marriage without the responsibilities of marriage. People in America want the privileges of being American without the responsibilities of being an American. People want the privileges of church membership without the responsibilities of church membership. And here was these Levites. They were given by God to carry the ark on their shoulders, a personal responsibility for their own lives. And brethren, it is our personal responsibility to reverence our holy God. I think about men in God's word. I think about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Do you know something? When he's seen the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, do you know what he did? He trembled at the presence of God. I think about Daniel, who literally fainted in the presence of a holy God. I think about John, the writer of the book of Revelation, who fell as one dead when he came into the presence of God. And brethren, it should be us when we come into his presence that it is holy, it is sacred, it is a sense of all that we have. But when we choose a new cart, we're careless about the sacred things of God. Number three, the last thing. We choose a new cart when we complain about God's judgments. Take your Bibles. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Now, David did something very unusual here. When God judged Uzzah and God smote him and he died, David did not respond as we should respond. 2 Samuel chapter 6, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. And David was displeased. Now let me say this. David was mad at God. He said, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez-Uzzah to this day. Verse 9, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Now listen to me closely. When we choose a new cart, we are upset about God's judgments and we don't like them. In a very sense, it is what Hebrews 12:5 says, where we are not supposed to despise the chastening of the Lord. You know what? I've known Christians that God deals with them. And by the way, it is discipline and we need the discipline of the Lord. It corrects us. It makes us more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and it really gives us joy in our life. In fact, when a parent does not discipline their child, you know what the Lord says? God says, you hate that child when you will not discipline them. But here, when God disciplines us, I've met Christians before. The Lord deals with them about something in their life, and they get mad at God. You know something? You are adding sin upon sin when God deals with you. And you are angry at the Lord. That's where David is. David could have repented. David could have sought counsel from God. And David could have got the Ark of the Covenant back immediately. But for 3 months, the Ark of the Covenant dwelt with Obed-Edom. Now, I want you to think about Obed-Edom just for a moment. Do you know the Bible says he was a Gittite? He was not an Israelite. But Obed-Edom had learned to reverence God. I believe that he had come to know the Lord. He had placed his faith and trust in Jehovah God, but he reverenced to God. And God looked upon the house of Obed-Edom. And the name Obed-Edom means blessing. And Obed-Edom is blessed because of the way that he treated the ark of God. In a sense, it's the way that he responded to God. Do you know that life is all about my response to God? That's really what life is about. You go through trials and troubles. You know what? Some people get mad at God. God, why do you let this come in my life? Don't you know how many good things I've done for you? You know something? That is a wrong response to God. And I'm going to tell you something. You've chosen a new cart. You know, some people love to live in their affliction. They love to tell everybody about their affliction. They live there. In a sense, I heard one person say one time, well, I learned to forgive God for what happened in my life. That was a very blasphemous thing to say, because that is indicating that God made a mistake. And brethren, God never makes a mistake. He is our holy God. David that day was displeased. And David was afraid of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. There are two types of the fear of the Lord. There is a fear of God that brings us into His presence and draws us near to the presence of God. But there is a very natural and selfish fear of God that removes us from God's presence. That's what David had. David did not fear the Lord and draw near to God, but David's fear was a fear out of like a slavish type of fear, responding to a terrible taskmaster. David was put into bondage. David was angry at God. David did not think God made a good decision that day, because David's intentions were good. Uzzah's intentions were good. David sought counsel from all those people. They were trying to do a good thing, but not according to God's standards. You see how the devil works so deceitfully in our lives? We've chosen a new cart. Can I tell you this? The fear of God that brings us into His presence is the right fear of God. But honestly, that day, David's pride was wounded. Because you know what? When God judged Uzzah, it told everybody in the nation of Israel that David had made a mistake. And David didn't like, he was humiliated in front of all the people. He had disobeyed God, and it was obvious judgment from God. But I've got news for you. David did get things right with the Lord. David did turn his heart to God. Let me show you this in closing. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Because here we find David seeking the face of God. Here we find David making things right with the Lord. And now the joy of the Lord comes. By the way, you know, I remember being in Bible college. And I can remember sitting in the pews while a preacher was preaching. And I can remember sitting there thinking, I cannot wait until the invitation time, because God is speaking to my heart so much. But down the pew, on the same pew, would be another guy. He listened to the same message, and it meant nothing to him. You see, that's the house of Abinadab, and praise God, I got to be in the house of Obed-Edom. What house are you in today? It's amazing to me, sometimes people will say to me, Pastor, God spoke to my heart, God changed my life during that service. And other people, it just meant nothing to them. You see, that's what the Ark of God, how we reverence it. Some people have Bibles all in their home, but they never read them and they never reverence them. Other people love God's Word and they feed on God's Word. And God brings them joy and excitement, and God leads them and directs them. That's the difference between the house of Abinadab or the house of Obed-Edom. I want the house of Obed-Edom. I want to say, God, I need You. And Lord, I'm going to obey You because I want Your blessing. 3 months, God blessed that whole house. But 40 years long, out of Abinadab's house, his boys came up to disrespect the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the presence of God. But what happened to David? Oh, I'm glad to know that David did make things right. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's look, if you would please, in verse number 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And David made him houses in the city of David, prepared a place for the Ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the Ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the Ark of God, and to minister unto Him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Lord unto His place which He had prepared for it. Go to verse number 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, and Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the Ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought Him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. Can I tell you this? When you get things right in obedience to God, the joy will come later. When you obey the Lord first and you get rid of those new carts, that new cart was flashy, that new cart was the latest thing, that new cart was under the counsel of men, but that new cart brought the judgment of God. And brethren, you and I choose new carts when we are not careful to obey the commandments of God. You know what that means? That means that every day we ought to be reading the Bible. And we ought to be studying God's word. Men, what does God have to say about what kind of men we should be? What kind of husbands we should be? Let's find out what the Bible says. Ladies, what kind of wives should we be and mothers should we be? How should we obey God? How should we be faithful to the house of God? You know, the Bible has commanded us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. God has commanded us to pray. He has commanded us to read His word. Where are we at? Are we careful to obey His commands? We choose a new cart when we are careless about the sacred things of God. You know something? I despise jokes about heaven and hell. I despise them because that's nothing to laugh about. I despise jokes about God and about the apostles. I despise those things because there is a sacredness about God. You know, to take God's name in vain, even in using slur or slang words, I despise that because His name is above every name and it is to be lifted up and to be reverenced because His name alone deserves our glory and honor. But when we're not careful about sacred things, but number three, brethren, when we complain about the judgments of God, what has God brought in your life that you don't like? Can I tell you something? You've taken a new cart. And that new cart will not take you to God's blessing. It'll not take you to that abounding joy. You know what happened? I'll tell you, we don't have time to read it. But when they got the Ark of the Covenant back, I'm going to tell you what happened. The people came. They submitted themselves because the glory of God was there upon that ark. And they were worshiping God. They were knowing God and walking with God. And joy and peace came upon their lives and upon their nation because they had obeyed the Lord. Brethren, you want peace and joy in your family? We want it in our church. We want it in our personal lives. Then, brethren, let's get rid of the new carts. And let's go back to God's way. And obey Him and love Him and know Him. Choosing a new cart. Let's pray together.